We're attempting to build upon the foundation of last year's teaching. We're not going to relay all the things that we said last year. We want to build further. And as we start this new year, it is important, if we are followers of Jesus, that we are committed to going deeper with God, being more useful to God in the world. We want to make progress. Too often, Christians simply relay and go over the old stuff, and they don't go deeper or higher with God. So the writer to the Hebrews actually said, let us go forward then to mature teaching and leave behind us the first lessons of the Christian message. It's not because they're not important, they're foundational, but let's move forward. We should not lay again the foundation of turning away from useless works and believing in God, of the teaching about baptisms and the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Let us go forward. And this is what we will do if God allows. So there is more that we need to progress in. We need to move forward in this year. And with God's help, we will do that as individuals and as a church. And we will join with all those other millions of people who are seeking to be followers of Jesus. Three aspects: building, outreach, belonging. They're to do with following God. They're to do with being ready for God to use us each day and to get us ready for the future. They rely on one another. They're woven together, so we won't look at them just in blocks. They will interrelate. They can't be dealt with in isolation. So you can't say, well, that bit's for me, that bit's for her, that bit's for him. They're interrelated. We began by reading about building. And we begin this series throughout the whole year by looking at foundations. Where else would you start if you're thinking about building? And we're thinking about what has already happened. You see, we don't start with a blank canvas. Although the past is behind us and the future is before us, there is much from the past that is useful. It has our story to tell. We need a sense of history. We need an awareness that what God is doing has not just begun. We haven't just discovered the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been active. We need that sense of history. One writer in the Middle Ages, John of Salisbury, that's Salisbury, not Sainsbury, actually said that we are just dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants. Political correctness wasn't perhaps as important in the Middle Ages as it should be now. But basically he was saying our lives follow on from other people. And sometimes we're so involved in the journey, in just living and surviving, that we really don't have a future perspective. We can't really see what's going on, and we need to climb above our circumstances and the ordinary journey and see what is going on. And churches need to do that, of course, to gain a different perspective. And as dwarfs, as small people, we can actually climb on the shoulders of giants, those that have gone before. We come in the line of other Christian believers and theologians that we can learn and benefit from. And we live and we work in a world which is not new. This is not a new world. We are dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants if we choose to use and learn from those who have gone before. There's no need to begin all over again. Don't think you're beginning all over again this year. The past is important. Now, if you and I were to step out of this building, which we will do after we've had a tea or a coffee or juice and chatted to some people, and go down the stairs at the front to the right, at the cornerstone of this building, you would find an inscription. There it is in slightly amended form. This stone was laid, and then there's the date, June 29th, 1869. It wasn't when the church started, but it's when the building was put up, by C.H. Spurgeon and C.D. Evans, and the Reverend bit comes before. Strangely, their names actually come before that of Jesus, which if we were doing it now, hating to correct those that have gone before, it might have been a little bit better to do it differently. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, one of the verses we read. And the significant part of the stone, of course, is the Bible text from 1 Corinthians 3. Spurgeon and Evans, significant as they were as workers for God, simply built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. I suppose they might say that's why they put their names above it, because he was actually there underneath supporting it all. That stone is there, and it's about foundations. There is only one true foundation for the Church of God. And by that, I don't just mean this local church in this period of history or whatever, but for all of the church throughout all generations. And that one true foundation is a person, Jesus Christ. And in our Watch Night message, we were directed towards that. But this verse from Corinthians, I believe, says far more. Jesus is so much more than the foundation of the Church of God. The only foundation for the whole of creation and the recreation that Jesus is involved in of the new heaven and the new earth is Jesus, God the Son. He is the foundation of everything. Everything. Jesus declared, we know and we quote it, that he would build his church and that the gates of death, Hades, would not stand against it. And we know that that comes from Matthew 16. The foundation stone of the church is believing faith in Jesus, the person Jesus. And the foundation of all that God is doing goes back a lot further than the foundation of the Christian church just 2,000 years ago. In the terms of God, 2,000 years, we're often told, is a couple of days. The work of God in foundation, in what he's doing, goes back far further than the church's start. It goes back far further than the incarnation, which we've just celebrated, the birth of Jesus, doesn't it? What God is doing goes back way beyond there. Nor is Old Testament Judaism the beginning of what God is doing. Even the story of the Jews, the Hebrews, is not the beginning of what God is doing. In fact, all of those Old Testament books and the writings about all the things that people tried to build and do is just like a few layers in the cake. Some of it has survived and some of it has gone. Some of the layers, look at them. Solomon's temple is no longer visible above the ground. Ezekiel's temple, which is spoken of in the Psalms, which was never built. The second temple, which stood 500 years longer than Solomon's or Herod's. Herod's temple, which stood in the days of Jesus, begun in 19 BC, finished in AD 64, leveled to the ground by the Romans in AD 70. So these magnificent things, which had amazing foundations, well, you know what we can see of the remains of Herod's temple in Jerusalem. But they're just layers upon a foundation, some of which remain, most of which are just gone. And so the foundation that God has laid in Jesus Christ goes back so far, and we are being built upon a foundation that comes from there. Do you sense that? Our lives are so small, but we are significant to God, but we are just dwarfs in a way, standing on the shoulders of giants, standing on the back of history. God's plan. If you're following or you're going to look up these verses later, you'll go to perhaps my favourite book in the New Testament, Ephesians. And you see Paul writing to the Ephesian church, talking about the plan of God that was drawn up and laid down before the foundation of the world, before creation happened, God was planning what he was going to build and what he was going to do before the foundation of the world. It's an amazing description. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1, it's difficult to pluck verses out of this incredible poetry and prophecy. But we read that God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his sons and daughters. That was his pleasure and purpose. And that says, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. The plan which God will complete when the time is right is to bring all creation together. That's every material thing. Not just human beings. Every material thing together. Everything in heaven on earth with Christ as head. This is what is being worked out. This is what we're a part of. This is what God is building towards. And the foundation of all of this, everything that God is doing, is the person Jesus Christ. Becca was right to point out, as we sing and we ask for glory to be given to God, of course, God's glory is his presence with his people, his residence. We declare glory to God. We also see the holiness, the otherness of God. And yet God is doing something in this material world through the power of his Spirit. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God will draw all creation, including human beings, through faith to himself. This is the plan, and Christ is the foundation for all of this. No other person can be a true foundation. As Paul said to the Christians at Corinth, and many of these are passages that we're going to go back and look at in more detail. We can't look at them all in one sermon. That would just be too rich. We will come back to these. The foundation of the church is not himself, i.e. Paul. He's not claiming to be the foundation, although he laid a foundation upon the foundation and others built on that. Or Apollos, who some followed, or even Peter. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, Paul and Apollos are simply God's servants. Peter is the Petros, the rock man. Jesus is the foundation, and Peter confesses this. Paul, Apollos, and Peter, says Paul, this world, life and death, the present and the future, all are yours. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. They're part of the plan. We're part of the plan. But we belong to Christ. He is the foundation upon which all others have built or sought to build. But without the foundation of Christ, there is nothing. There is nothing to build upon. And that foundation goes back before the foundation of the world. So human beings, whether they are in Corinth or Ephesus, Rome or Jerusalem, London, he's got the whole world in his hands, wherever, need to beware that we do not fall into the trap of exalting human beings. Paul talks about that particularly in Corinthians when he says, stop saying I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, or even I follow Peter. We treat God's true servants with respect, but it is only Jesus who is the true foundation. And how many Christians have come a cropper because they have idolized, and I use the word with care, certain Christian leaders, traveling to their meetings vast distances because they think those people can perform miracles. Well, they can't. There is only one person who does miracles, and it is not a human being. Unless we accept both the humanity and deity of Christ. Beware exalting human beings. Do not put your hope in them. If our faith, if the faith of our church rests on human beings, it will not give us the stability, the hope, the assurance that we need to weather all that life throws at us, the suffering, the frailty of age. It will not be strong enough. Paul wrote to Timothy, "The solid foundation that God has laid cannot be shaken." God lays the foundation. So the people of God, you, me, the generations, are built upon the only true foundation, Jesus. And then that foundation is laid upon by those who are recognized as apostles and prophets. Paul writes that to the Ephesians, and on that basis, we've constructed our scriptures as well. We'll look at that later. God is building, not a physical temple. We don't come into a physical temple to worship. We come amongst the people of God, a holy temple in which God dwells by his Spirit. In that sense, physical buildings are very secondary to what we are doing. They're there to serve the purposes of God, who is concerned about a material world. But God is building a holy temple in which God dwells by his Spirit. I guess it's unfortunate that the Christian church has often been divided, this is over simply, between those who are Roman Catholics and those who are Protestants. I suppose that tends to ignore the Orthodox, which is a bit unfortunate since they're massive, but there you go. But often we get obsessed with certain doctrines. We need to look at the whole span of Scripture. And the passage that I referred to earlier is quite important, where Jesus declares that he is building his church. My church. I will build my church. Just to refresh your memory, as he talks with Simon Peter, we get this message in Matthew 16. Jesus is asking them, "Who do people say that I am?" Simon Peter answered Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Good for you," or "blessings on you, Simon, son of John," answered Jesus, "for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will ever be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So Simon Peter again. Remember, Paul's already said the foundation is not Peter or Paul or Apollos. But it's Simon Peter privately, and only among the 12, probably, who was prepared to say that he recognized Jesus was the awaited Messiah and the Son of the living God. Jesus knows that the crowds are confused about the role of Messiah, and so he still wants no announcements. But Jesus commends Peter, "My rock stone." My rock stone. For being brave enough to say this out loud, "You are Messiah, you are the Son of the living God." He said that knowledge is not gained by human intellect or study, but it is a revelation from the Father God to you. And then Jesus goes on to make plain that heaven and earth were not to be separated by some vast gap, some dualist view that the heavens are way up there and the earth's down here. No, they are linked inextricably. And then he says, "What you bind and loose," that's what rabbis do. It's not necessarily a form of spiritual warfare. It's what is permitted and what is not permitted. "What you bind and loose will be bound and will be loosed." In other words, the will of God being done on earth as well as in heaven. Actually seeing heaven and earth come together as we pray for the will of God being done on earth. So Peter is commended, this unstable character, often Peter, who's the genuinely acknowledged leader, the spokesperson. And he says, "You are the first stone of many to be laid. And you and I are living stones that have followed on in succession. You are the first stone of many that will be laid." Not, I believe, of course, a dynasty of people that followed Peter, but you're the first living stone to be laid in a new temple. So we begin our year, hopefully, with this awakened understanding, this excitement that was mentioned, of Jesus as the only foundation. And we need to begin always to think with Jesus. He is the means by which we understand the other scriptures and by which we make sense of what is happening at the moment in the world. He is the only foundation. But of course, we will see as we go into the New Testament that the foundation teachings of the apostles and the prophets are mentioned in Ephesians and Revelation. They're important, the teachings that we have, the scriptures before us, but it is Jesus the person that is the true foundation. And Jesus is building. And he's building not a load of churches in the sense of buildings, but he is building a community, a messianic community, a group of people, motley, from all different backgrounds, but who have the presence of the Holy Spirit, who go into the world to bring in, to announce the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus is building, a community of followers. He's not creating hierarchical structures, but laying down living stones, people who trust him as Messiah, Son of the living God. And he claims this is his community. Note how he doesn't even have to argue to be equal with the Father. I will build my ecclesia, my community, my gathered community of believers. I will build this, and death will never bring it to an end, because it's a resurrection community, not just messianic, but a resurrection community. And with Christ, the church will last through all generations forever and ever, the people of God. Jesus is the true foundation of all that God is doing. And if nothing else, at the beginning of the year, I want that firmly in our mind, and that foundation goes back before the foundation of the world, way beyond the beginning of the Christian church, way beyond the people of Israel, before the foundation of the world. Jesus was laid upon the foundation, the only one on whom we can build our lives. And that is my challenge. You say, well, what does this mean in the nitty-gritty of everyday life? We'll have a response time where we praise Jesus for who he is, what he's doing, that he's building a community. But here is a question. Is he the foundation of your life? Not just that you've made a profession of faith, not just that you've done that in baptism and by joining the church, but is he the foundation of your life? Are your values and your choices based upon Jesus and his gospel of the kingdom? Are your homes, your households, and your relationships based on the foundation of Jesus? In the workplace, do you build the way you work as though it were on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Because that is what we are called to do, to build on that foundation. That's the challenge. And through the year, we'll be thinking about what we are building, what we're a part of, how we're reaching out to others. Because God has this plan. He has laid it down. He has shown us what he intends to do. And amazingly, he's called us to work with him, to join with him. Those who are tired, come afresh to Jesus. Those who are weary, come afresh to Jesus. Dig out the rubble. Clear the stones away. Get back to the foundation. Remove what is merely superficial and transient. Let us build on the foundation. For that we need to see Jesus very clearly and understand what he is doing. Let's respond And Becca will lead us in that response time.